often met before. And for those who are here for the first time, my name is Walt. I am the pastor for the English ministry, and on behalf of SFCC, we want to welcome you to our church for worship. All right? Well, today is the fourth Sunday of our 40 days of community study, and is also called the Grow Better Together Sunday. And since the week's focus, this coming week's focus, is going to be on spiritual growth, I will be preaching from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14, and with a sermon title that is called Marks of Spiritual Immaturity. Marks of Spiritual Immaturity. So with that in mind, let us begin by reading the passage together as a whole congregation. So let's read it, starting from verse 11. Let's do that. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The word of the Lord. Now, before we pray, let me just say that today's message is very challenging. And it's going to be very convicting for some people. And but let me also say that, you know, as I preach a sermon like this, of which you're about to hear, I'm also preaching it to myself, all right? So as you listen to the message, please don't feel like I'm trying to lecture you or try to scold you. For we're all in the process of growing and learning together in Christ. So let's humble ourselves and receive God's word together, all right? So now, having said that, let us bow down for a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for the good love that you have shown us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the different teachings that we have been receiving. And it's all centered on the person of Christ, who died for us on the cross, and so that we may live a new life for you and for each other. And Lord, as we're about to hear your word from Hebrews today, we ask that you would come to this place, that your spirit would come and you would empower us to hear your word clearly. And then we pray that, you know, the challenges or the convictions that we're about to receive or experience, you will use it for your glory so that we may become more mature, more stronger for you and for each other. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I once heard a story about a man who had been a teacher for 25 years. All right, so he's been teaching in a school for 25 years. Then one day he heard about this other job position which he would want to apply because, you know, that job means more money, more promotion. So with his resume, you know, he carefully, you know, prepared his resume. He sent it in to that school. But later he found out that someone who had been teaching for only 1 year was hired instead. Only 1 year. So he went to the school principal and he asked why. Hey, like, I submitted my resume. It says I have 25 years of experience. How come that person, you know, who only had 1 year of experience is hired? Well, the principal responded. He said, I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience as you claim. From your resume, we see that you've had only 1 year of experience, but you did it 25 times. In other words, for the past 25 years, this man had not improved. He had not taken the time to learn or to grow into a better, a more effective, a more competent teacher. He simply stayed the same and taught the same way for 25 years. Now, this is the case for many Christians in churches today. Once they received Christ, once they were baptized, you know, once they went on to this mission trip, you know, they felt really spiritually high, or they went to this conference, you know, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I experienced God there. And then once that spiritual fervor, spiritual passion, you know, began to disappear, they started to drift away from God. They stopped moving forward. They became indifferent toward God's word and his truth. And they begin to grow colder towards other people. And then you see that in their life, they continue to struggle with the same sins. In other words, they never grew up. Now, the Bible tells us that the lack of spiritual growth or spiritual immaturity is a very dangerous thing. So from this passage, I want us to look at four marks or four signs of spiritual immaturity. And you guys can follow along with me inside your bulletin. So is that good? I'm setting this up for you. You guys following me? Good. All right. So here's the first one. And that is dullness of hearing. dullness of hearing. You see, an immature Christian is someone who has become dull of hearing. Something's blocking their hearing abilities. Another way of saying this is that person simply stops learning and hearing from the Word of God. Now, such person may have started out very strong, you know, very passionate. You know, yeah, God rocks, Jesus saves, all right. Who was really excited about learning, who was always ready, you know, taking notes, you know, in the sermon, in the Bible studies, who's very passionate for God. But somehow, as the time goes by, that person's faith begins to wander, begins to drift away. So as a result, that person is unable to listen to the Word of God because it's been blocked up for too long. That person is unable to receive it and to act upon it. Now go to verse 11 with me, where it says this. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." You guys see that? You guys see that verse? Now, let me give you a little bit of context in regard to the book of Hebrews. If you have read or studied the book of Hebrews, you will remember that the author spent quite some time in the first few chapters speaking about the priesthood of Jesus. And, you know, and these are wonderful, you know, truth about Christ. You know, he was talking about how Jesus was a great high priest. You know, how he was, you know, without sin, even though he was tempted in every way, and how he was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate lamb for God. So he was teaching all this, you know, point after point. You know, this is like good stuff, you know. He was saying all these things to the readers. But at some point, he had to stop. Why? Because he said, "You guys are too slow to learn. I got all these spiritual insights about Christ to teach you, but you guys are not hearing it. You guys are blocking it out." And it wasn't so much the difficulty of the material, but rather it was their inability to take it or to receive it. And it wasn't because the author of Hebrews was boring, you know, like he's really dull. I mean, there was like exciting stuff, but it was because they were dull hearers. They just simply can't hear. They don't listen anymore. Instead, they will hear only what they want to hear, and they will spit out, they'll black out anything that they don't like. Now, brothers and sisters, here is my question for you as your pastor. Is the Word of God boring to you? Think about that. I mean, when you go to fellowships or Bible studies, is a study dull? Do you find yourself tend to kind of doze off during a sermon? Or anything that's spiritually related, like worshiping, or like praying, or like get together and praying for each other? I mean, all those things, do you find yourself kind of becoming reluctant to participate? Or perhaps you're just simply going through the motions. When one person is dull in hearing God's word, it is only natural that the next mark of spiritual immaturity will be evident. Let's go to the next one. It's the inability to teach others. The inability to teach others. Look at the first part of verse 12 with me, where it says this. It says, "In fact, though by this time, you ought to be what? Teachers, right? You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again." In other words, you know, the author says to the readers, "Hey guys, you guys have been Christians for some time now. By this time, you ought to be able to teach each other. But you can't. You still need elementary teachings from other people." Now, this is exactly what happens to a lot of churches today. You see, many people today, they come to church and they see the church as a place where they're ministered to. They're here to receive. But that's not what God is about, church. God is about church having to receive and to reproduce at the same time. But the Bible is like that. We are to, you know, as a church, we are to be able to grow together, to learn together, and to equip and disciple one another. Now, when it comes to teaching, it's not just about pastors or Sunday school teachers or fellowship, or like Bible study, like PIC, or fellowship PICs. I mean, it's not reserved just for them. The Bible says you should be able to defend and share your faith with one another. You should be able to talk to each other about biblical truth. Now listen to this verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared to teach, to explain, and to share. And a mature Christian is someone who's able to teach. Now, again, let me ask you guys another set of questions as your pastor. Can you guys do that? Assuming that you've been Christian for some time, are you able to teach, you know, either formally in a Sunday school setting, or are you able to kind of share your faith to other people? Are you knowledgeable enough to disciple other young believers? I mean, when unbelievers or when a non-Christian friend of yours, you know, at work or in school asks you about your faith, do you find yourself saying something like, well, I don't know what to say? Or do you struggle to find words to explain to them? When you are given the opportunity to share the gospel, when someone says, hey, tell me about Jesus, are you able to accurately tell that person about Jesus' life and who he is? Well, if you're unable to teach others and you have been a Christian for some time, then you probably have forgotten about the elementary truth of God's teaching. And if that is the case, then this is what the Bible says. You're still a baby. You're still a baby. So the inability to teach biblical truth about God is the second sign that the person is either still very young in his faith or that person has stopped growing. And if we have been Christians for some time, there's no excuse to stay that way. Like I said before, this is challenging stuff, okay? So I hope that you guys are still with me as I'm saying all these, okay? Here comes the third one, the third mark of spiritual immaturity, a diet of milk, okay? Now look at the second half of verse 12 and verse 13 with me, where the author says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, right? Now, for the past a year or so, I was able to personally experience and witness the difference between solid and milk. Because my boy is 14 months old. And in fact, he will be 14 months tomorrow, you know, just to be exact. So just to let you know about, you know, like his growing process, you know, he still takes formula about 3 times a day. But in the past, that amount would be sufficient for him. He could jump around, crawl around, you know, back then. You know, he would move around, and then he's able to, you know, that would be able to, it's sustainable for him. But now that he's past the stage of the milk diet only, we would have to feed him solid food, like the things that we eat, like at least 3 times a day. And if he simply just takes formula without eating any solid, 2 things will happen. First, he will get real cranky. He will yell at you, you know, he will like, right? Second, if you put him to bed, instead of sleeping through the night, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, he will just jump up and cry. Why? Because he needs solid to grow up. Now, in the same way, Christians need solid food to grow up as well. Now, I'm not trying to say milk-based teaching is bad, because we don't need that. I mean, it's easier to swallow, it's easier to digest. But unfortunately, there are way too many people in churches today who simply want to stay with the milk diet only. They just want enough to get by. Now, when we talk about the milk-based diet, I mean, what is it? What is considered as milk? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 gives us a few clues. Just listen to this. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then Peter would then move on to talk about how people need to be built up. So from this verse, these two verses, we see that the milk of God's word usually consists of things that will help people to experience the goodness of the Lord. They're easy to digest, they're easy to swallow, and they're really, really pleasant to hear. It's like, once you hear those teachings, you'll say, oh yeah, it feels good, you know. Yeah, thank you for God's peace, you know, thank you for God's love. Those are wonderful stuff. And again, they're necessary, because that's how a lot of us came to Christ in the first place. You know, we experienced something that is really good, like, you know, God saved you, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you know, and then therefore you ought to count your blessings, you know, you got to be thankful, you got to be, you know, like, you know, make your offerings. And then, I mean, those are the good things, but the thing is, they do not sustain a person's spiritual journey. They do not make us grow into maturity. They do not challenge us to make real commitments to Jesus. and they did not ask us to take up our cross and live for Him. The Bible says we need to have more nutrients than that. We need to have solid, we need to have meat or vegetables. Or vegetables, yeah. Meat and solid food, right? Now, let's talk about solid food a little bit. What is considered as solid, right? What is solid food? What kind of, you know, what is a solid food? Now, from the teachings that we've been hearing, you know, throughout our life in the church, the solid food is the kind of food that will challenge us to know what God wants and then do something with it. The kind of food, you know, solid food is the kind of food that will motivate us to find our gifts and to serve the community. It's the kind of food that will, you know, that will push us to live a life of sacrifice and devotion, and that we will become missional, that we will begin to think about mission and sharing the gospel to others. So here comes another set of questions for you guys. Brothers and sisters, how is your diet spiritually? Have you been taking some meat? Or are you interested in receiving them? You see, there are way too many people, and I'm saying this, you know, like, with a great sadness. There are way too many people that are still babies. They never desire to grow up and mature in Christ. And they don't want to grow because they're not committed. And they just kind of, you know, talk, I mean, all they talk about, oh yeah, God is great. God is love. Lots of peace. My comforter during the storms. I mean, they talk about all that, but they never try to get into what Jesus really wants. They never take up the cross. Let us not stay like babies. Let us continue to crave for things that will make us strong. Third mark of spiritual immaturity. Here comes the fourth mark. And that is the inability to discern. The inability to discern. Now look at the last verse of the passage with me, where it says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." So this tells us that, you know, like mature Christians, you know, they eat solid, and not only do they eat solid, because of their diet, they're able to tell the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. But in contrast, immature Christians, they don't have that ability. They don't have that, you know, that kind of wisdom. They cannot tell the difference between a good teaching or bad teaching. I mean, there are churches out there today who simply just tell you about one side of the Christian faith. They tell you that when you do this, when you follow Jesus, that's what you're going to get. That's the blessings you're going to have. And then they just keep on talking about that. But they never realize that there's another side of the Bible that asks you to devote yourself to God, that asks you to take up the cross. And their inability to discern will leave those people open to being tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teachings out there, what the Bible says. And let's admit it, you know, we live in a world where everything is becoming not so much black and white anymore. Everything is kind of gray now. We hear people saying everything's okay. You know, everything is relative. You know, there's no wrong, there's no sin, you know. Just do whatever you want, make you happy. But still, it is precisely in this kind of spiritual atmosphere that we need this ability to discern between what is right and wrong. And we need solid teaching to help us doing that. So these are the four marks of spiritual immaturity. An immature Christian is someone who's been dull of hearing from God's word, someone who doesn't have the ability to teach others, someone who just simply crave for the milk, not for solid, and someone who's not able to discern as a result between good and evil. And it's very dangerous, the Bible says, to be immature. Now, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Well, from the passage that we just went through today, I want us to see then how we can define spiritual growth. And you guys can follow along with me. There are blanks for you to fill out in your bulletins. All right? We can define spiritual growth in the following ways. There are five different ways, at least five different ways from what we can learn from today's passage. Here's the first one. Spiritual growth is not automatic, but instead it is a choice. It is a choice. A person can grow older without ever growing up. And there are a lot of people today, you know, who grow older physically, You know, like, you know, they have white hairs, you know. But somehow emotionally and spiritually, they're just like babies. You know, they still can't interact with people. They still can't get along with people. Age does not equate maturity. And this is also true for Christians. There are way too many people for many years that they just come. They just claim to be Christians, but they never grow up. So spiritual growth is never automatic. It is a choice. It is intentional, if that's the word I could use, intentional. Second, spiritual growth is not instant. It is a gradual process. It is a gradual process. In other words, there are no shortcuts. You know, like, you cannot go to like a conference, you know, like a spiritual, I mean, those will make you, those will challenge you, but you cannot go there and thinking that you're going to be spiritually, you know, suddenly mature, you know, or you're going to be a super Christian or something. No, there are no shortcuts. The reality is that there is no magic pills that's going to turn you into mature Christians instantly. The Christian life is a gradual process. You can either go forward one step at a time, or you can stay, you know, stand still, or you can go backwards. It's always like that. So that's the second thing. Here's the third thing that we can learn about what spiritual growth is. And that is, it doesn't happen just by attending church. It must be developed. It must be developed. Now, I know there are some people who think of the Christian life as just a series of meetings. You know, they go to this meeting, they go to church on Sunday worship, they go to fellowships, they go to small groups, they go to, you know, volunteers at places, and they think that by going to those meetings, they will grow, you know, automatically. But that's not how it works. Jesus did not say, I have come so that you may go to meetings. But instead he said, I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. And this doesn't just happen inside the church. God wants you to be a more loving person at home, a more, you know, like faithful worker, you know, in your job sites. He wants you to study hard. He wants you to do everything. He wants you to have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to grow up. But it just doesn't happen just by simply attending it. You need to develop it. So that's the third thing that we learn. Here's the fourth thing. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen by yourself. It happens, or you need to grow with other people. You need to grow with other people. Now, you guys probably have heard this before. A lot of times, different religions out there, they will tell you that in order to become more spiritual or more holy, all you need to do is to go to like a remote mountain somewhere and just go there, yum, right? I mean, that the more isolated you are, the more meditating, you know, that you are, the more you train yourself to be away from people, that's how you get holy. But that's not true. At least that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus was the holiest person, the most spiritual person who's ever lived. But guess what? He was constantly with people. Loving God means loving the neighbors as yourself. Loving God means, you know, we are to be with people and practice what we learn. I mean, that isn't that what 40 Days of Community is about? You guys are going to the studies and, you know, learning how to relate rightly and lovingly towards one another. You got to be with people to grow. Fifth, and the last one. Spiritual growth is not measured by beliefs. Both beliefs and behavior must change. They must change. And what I mean by this is that just knowing a lot about the Bible does not mean that you're spiritually mature. And a lot of times in churches, we think like that. Oh yeah, that person is very, very spiritual because that person can, you know, recite all the disciples, you know, Jesus, you know, whom Jesus called, or like, that person is very spiritual because, you know, like, that person can name this and that. But God is not after what we know here. God is always after how we live out our life to people. If we say that we believe in something, but we don't act it out, then our belief is fake. It's fake. And it is not genuine in the first place. You see, genuine faith is always followed by your actions. And how do I know that? Well, remember in the gospel, the Pharisees were the ones who knew the most about the Bible. In fact, I learned that in order to become a Pharisee in those days, you had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I mean, think about that. You had to memorize it. You had to be able to recite it, you know, like from your memory. in order to be a Pharisee. And those people, you know, like, you know, they're able to do that, and people respected them. They're like, oh yeah, those people, they know about God. But then what did Jesus say to them? Remember? He said, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. To Jesus, knowing God is more than just knowledge. Knowing God means living out God's commands. Knowing God means, you know, we're to commit our lives to Him. Spiritual growth is never measured by what we know. But instead, it is how we live out what we know that counts. Okay? So brothers and sisters, may the words that you hear today be a sober reminder that we all need to grow, not just individually, but as a community. Let us not stay as spiritual infants, but let us try the best we can to grow up. Let us become men and women who love God's word, who's able to disciple and teach others, you know, who crave for good, solid biblical teachings, you know, who has real discernment between right and wrong. Let us become the kind of people that God desires. Let us be the kind of men and women who not only will talk the talk, but also walk the walk. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we are just so unworthy, because we know that we are lazy by nature when it comes to spiritual life. And the words that we heard today, Lord God, we ask that you will use it to challenge us, to motivate us, to convict us, so that we may know more, not just about who you are, but that we may know you. And that may be the ultimate goal in our life. And through knowing you, that we may learn to love you and love others as you have loved us. So Lord, we want to lift up this coming week into your hand. This coming week on the 40 days of community is about growing together. We ask that you will use the studies to teach us, to train us, so that we will be more like you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.